How are you now? Ho, how are you right now? We're on a roll, it feels like, lately with games in general. You know, things picking up a little bit for the Montreal Canadiens. They started with a lot of weird breaks early on in the season, and now it feels like they just have no nights off. But here we are. Hello and welcome to episode 7 of the Bottom 6 Minutes podcast presented by Habs Eyes and the Prize. I am Matt Drake, and we have quite a bit for me to get to in the recap of this Montreal Canadiens versus Columbus Blue Jackets game at the Bell Center on a nice Thursday night. But first, the last of the major pro sports leagues kick off this week, and BetOnline is your top spot for all your NBA action this season. With MLB postseason, NFL, college football, and NHL in full swing, BetOnline is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions. Get everything NBA at your fingertips with both desktop and mobile access for every sport anytime. Head to BetOnline today to get in on the action. Don't forget to use promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. And speaking of starts, it just so happens that the first period of the game between the Montreal Canadiens and the Columbus Blue Jackets was somewhat problematic for me. We're going to get to it here. It was a great start, I felt, for the Habs. Top line was sent into their zone off the opening faceoff, and then they go down the ice and they actually get a scoring chance almost right away. And I'm feeling like, you know, this is going to be a much more watchable game than the last one. Looking all right, but of course, just 3 minutes in, not even 3 minutes in, rush chance for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Johnny Gaudreau plays pitch and catch, and then he goes across with the puck to the back door for Jack Roslovic. Yeah, he gets an easy one on that one. It's 1-0. And then immediately after that, we get some bullshit. Some baby back bullshit. Dmitry Voronkov, playing in his first NHL game, apparently has decided he wants to be the dirtiest player in the league. He hits Arbor Jacki from behind. Arbor Jacki fights him over it. And somehow, we, after all of that, go to 5-on-5 hockey, because the refs gave, they did correctly call Dmitry Voronkov for the board, but they also gave Arbor Jacki 2 minutes for roughing in addition to the 5 minutes for fighting. So they basically charged him with an instigator. I don't understand how you can possibly do that. He got hit directly in the numbers. That's the instigator. What instigated the fight was not Jacki just deciding that there was going to be a fight. What instigated it was the fact that he got hit in the numbers. But I digress. Keep that in your back pocket, because a little bit later on in the game, in that very period, not even later on in the game, in that same period, Cole Sillinger hits Alex Newhook from behind at the other end of the ice. We're not even 10 minutes in, and we've got two hits from behind on Montreal Canadiens player. And guess what happens when Newhook gets hit from behind? Tanner Pearson comes in to defend him. And again, they call 2-on-2, and we go to 4-on-4 hockey. So the Habs don't even get a power play after getting hit in the back twice. That is absolute horseshit. Terrible officiating. They were starting to lose control of that game within the first 10 minutes. Completely ridiculous. Not going to turn this into a complete ref show, right? I wanted to turn the game off, though. I wanted to turn the game off at that point. And I wanted to turn it off even more after, with a little bit more than 3 minutes to go, they get Justin Barron for tripping. I felt like Fantilli kind of just stepped on his stick a little bit. But at the same time, it's a hard one not to call. So we'll call that one fair on the officials. But it's Bemström with a clapper from the left circle. And it's 2-0 for the Blue Jackets at the end of one period. And I really wanted to turn the game off. I was like, you know, it felt like the officiating took the wind out of the sails for the Habs a little bit. I mean, it was complete bullshit. Really, there's no explanation for me how they're possibly trying to charge the Habs with extra twos just to make sure that it's evened up when you've got two illegal hits there. Those are the instigators. Those are the instigators. Everything else that happens afterwards is because of those hits. You need to get control of that as officials. And I'm like, man, I kind of want to turn this off. And I'm glad I didn't, because the game got a lot cleaner and a lot better from the second period onwards. Early in the second period, we get a battle along the wall in the Blue Jackets zone. Boone Jenner turns it over, just throws a blind pass up the middle, trying to get it out of the zone. It lands right on the stick of Nick Suzuki. He walks into the high slot and absolutely rips his first goal of the year. It's 2-1. The Habs have some life. The Habs, they decide to go full run and gun at this point. They're not really trying to D up too much. They're willing to allow some scoring chances as a sacrifice for them to start getting some really exciting rush chances. They're playing exciting hockey starting in this second period here. Full run and gun. Voronkov, though, up to his old tricks. Up to his old tricks. He lands a straight headshot on Jordan Harris in near the offensive zone for the Habs anyways. And they only call him 2 minutes for it. I'm looking at this and I'm like, man, I was just starting to get excited with this game, and you guys are going to allow that headshot to only be 2 minutes. Now, Harris was fine, so I guess, you know, you could make an argument that 2 minutes was the only thing they could call, but, you know, that's the second dirty hit for him in the same game within two periods. He's averaging one dirty hit per period. Give the guy a 10-minute misconduct or something. Send him some kind of message that he can't do that. I don't know. Anyways, it's only 2 minutes. Habs can't do shit with it. The power play looking absolutely horrible. And then Harris himself takes a hooking penalty later on in that period. This time it's Bemstrom again from Jack Roslovic at the side of the net. It's 3-1 for the Jackets. They are almost running away with this one, at least on the scoreboard. Habs get another power play chance though. Damon Severson is off for interference late in the period. And finally, with barely any time left on the clock, they find a way to get themselves a power play goal. Mike Matheson just dancing around a little bit at the blue line. He finally finds a lane, puts a wrister through traffic. It goes off the post and in. 3-2 is your score heading into the third period. And the Habs, they got momentum on their side. They definitely have momentum on their side. You know, they were down 2 goals going into that period. They come out down only one. You know, despite all the questionable officiating, and they've started playing some run-and-gun hockey. So we're looking forward to a fun third period, and we get exactly that from the Montreal Canadiens. They do not stop with that run-and-gun hockey. Yes, they're giving up some chances the other way, some odd-man chances to Columbus as a result, but they're getting odd-man chances themselves. They're getting slot chances themselves. This was extremely fun hockey to watch in the third period. If you haven't seen the game yet, if you got it recorded on your DVR or something, I suggest that you fast-forward right through to that third period. It was very, very pleasing to the eyes. And then the Montreal Canadiens get another chance on the power play. Brendan Gallagher was off for a tripping penalty. They managed to kill it off, and they get another chance because Adam Fantilli runs into Mike Matheson. So now they're going to the power play one more time. Can they do two in one game? They can. Cole Caulfield coming off the half wall. He's selling shot the whole way. Everybody in their seats at the Bell Center and everybody on the Blue Jackets expected him to shoot that puck. He does not. He throws it into the slot. And Sean Monahan is there to tip it in. He ties the game, and we are eventually going to overtime. However, before overtime, we had one more questionable decision by the officials. Josh Anderson had an opportunity to maybe take the lead with less than a minute on the clock, and he gets hooked in front of the Blue Jackets net. Puck goes the other way. Chance for the Blue Jackets, and Adam Fantilli gets high-sticked by Brendan Gallagher. They don't call the hook on Josh Anderson. They do call the high-stick on Brendan Gallagher. And as a result, the Habs are shorthanded again. They kill off about 55 seconds in regulation, and then they go to overtime, and they have to start overtime 4-on-3 for a little bit. They manage to kill it off thanks to some key saves by Samuel Montembeau and some key blocks from Mike Matheson. Then we go to 4-on-4 for a bit. That solves nothing. It's very back and forth until we get a whistle. And then we get about 2.5 minutes of 3-on-3. And the Habs basically throw Nick Suzuki and Cole Caulfield out there as soon as they possibly can. And those two are dominating the puck together. Cole Caulfield gets multiple chances on goal. At one point, he cuts in, and if the puck just jumps a little bit more correctly for him, he would have put that thing on the forehand, and he would have gone roof daddy with it. And, you know, time is ticking away. We're under a minute left at this point. Nick Suzuki hands it off to Cole Caulfield at the offensive blue line. Cole Caulfield walks in, finds his lane, and rips one. 4-3. He ends another game in overtime. Goal, Caulfield. Your Montreal Canadiens win on home ice. What a game, man. Just go back to what I said at the end of the first period. I wanted to turn that game off. I really did. It's not something I've done in a very long time. I think it's years since I've turned off a game in anger. I usually can get through almost anything, but that one was really eating at me after that first period. And I'm so glad I didn't, because the game got so much better. I mean, even I'll give credit to the Blue Jackets. Other than that Voronkov guy, they stopped hitting dirty. They kept it clean, and they turned this thing into just run and gun, man. They were going back and forth, head-to-head, toe-to-toe, however you want to put it. It was incredibly entertaining hockey. That's the kind of hockey you want to see. That's the kind of hockey I was hoping for to see more of last season when I knew the Habs were going to be bottom five. I just wanted them to see it. I wanted to see them open it up a little bit more like that. Like, who cares? You're giving up fucking scoring chances. What does it matter? You're not really trying to win games anyways. Just have some fun with it. And, you know, they came out in the second period, and I don't know what Martin Saint-Louis said to them in the dressing room between those two periods, but it was a different team out there. Man, they forgot all about that officiating in a way that I never could, and they went right to work, and they just turned it into a really exciting, fast-paced, fun game to watch, man. That, if I had a friend that I was trying to sell them on hockey and they were like a big soccer fan from Europe or something and I wanted to convince them to make hockey their sport, that is the game that I would show them. That was fun. I enjoyed that a lot. Player of the game, you want to take a wild guess who the player of the game is going to be? It's Cole Caulfield. Two apples and the game-winning goal in overtime. He is now over a point per game on the season. Surprisingly, getting quite a few more assists than I thought. I thought he would have more goals at this point, but man, what a player. Jared Book tweeted this out after the game. He said, there's a lot of people that have been saying that the Habs don't have one of those elite game-breaking forwards. They do. They have Cole Caulfield. Just look at the chances that he generated in that game. I mean, he could have had a hat trick, no problem. Merzlikins was very good in net for the Blue Jackets. He made a couple of really key saves on Caulfield. That game's over in regulation if Cole Caulfield gets the puck to roll right for him a couple more times. No joke. And it's over with him probably having gotten that hat trick in regulation. Natural Stat Trick has him at 6 scoring chances for individually. Now, that's across all situations, so that included his power play work as well. 3 of them high danger. He easily could have had a hat trick before they even got to overtime there. So this was a tour de force from Cole Caulfield, and I gotta say it's one of the more impressive games. I hesitate to say it's his most impressive game because he didn't get the hat trick, right? If he had the hattie plus the 2 assists, then you could say it was his best game in a Montreal Canadiens uniform. But it's up there. It's up there. He got a well-deserved nod as the first star of the night in the Bell Center. Got to throw some pucks out to the fans, and man, what a player! What a player! They've got an elite player there. It's just a matter of them figuring out how they can build a team around guys like him, Nick Suzuki, that defensive core that they've got, and figure out who's going to be their goaltender. And this team could be something. Might take a few years, but man, he keeps coming up the way that he is. Look out. Also got to throw some flowers to Nick Suzuki. Obviously got his first goal of the season. He's had a rougher start than I think most would expect. It's been a bit of a touchy subject among the fan base because anybody who criticizes Suzuki, they're liable to get jumped on, and anybody who refuses any criticism of Suzuki, they're also liable to get jumped on. It depends what camp people have put themselves in, and there seems to be some pretty firm camps. I'm kind of in the middle. I think some of the criticism has been a little bit too harsh, but on the other hand, you can't help but look at the start of his season and say, well, it's been a little bit disappointing. He was not disappointing in that game. He was excellent. When he got that puck at the blue line before he shot, I was yelling shoot at my TV screen because he was loading up for it, and I'm like, please let that thing go. And he waited until the exact precise moment and beat a goaltender in Merzlikins that was not giving them anything easy in that game. So good to see him finally get a goal. Good to see him and Cole with some chemistry in overtime there, as they tend to do. And hopefully it's a sign of, you know, better things to come from them. The team really needs those two to perform well if they're going to have any success. And, you know, again, playoffs are probably out of the question this year, but, we're not necessarily talking about playoffs. We're just talking about this team starting to improve around those two. We need to see something from them because it's not like they're going to magically get, you know, 4 or 5 other elite players that are going to be able to shelter them, and Nick Suzuki and Cole Caulfield are going to be able to get out there against fourth line players all the time or anything. They're going to have to beat the best in the league. That's what they're going to have to do. The best every team has to offer every night. That's who they're going to be going up against for the most part, and we need to see some success from them this season regardless. Can go down the list of the rest of the players who had good games as well. Josh Anderson had a number of really good chances on goal. I could say the same thing I said for Caulfield, man. If the puck rolls right for him a couple of times, he's walking out of that game with a multi-goal game. He had some really good chances, looking dangerous, really good at driving the middle. When they started playing that run-and-gun hockey, that's the kind of style that benefits him because he's so fast. I'd really like to see them play like that every single game because it's so fun to watch. And I'm sure he would like to see them play like that every single game because his speed really benefits him when they do that. And they're looking for those rushes and they're looking for those, not necessarily stretch passes, but you know, zone gaining passes that send him in against one guy or even sometimes alone. Puck rolls right for him. He's got a couple in that game. I actually really enjoyed the third line yet again, Brendan Gallagher with Sean Monahan, Tanner Pearson. They've been an extremely effective line for the Montreal Canadiens, and you know, they had some chances of their own. I think they probably could have potted one if given the right opportunities. You know, it was a good game from them. I enjoyed it. Got to talk about the D as well. Really enjoyed Mike Matheson in that game. He's had a couple of good games in a row. I mean, last game he struggled for, I'd say, the first two periods, and then he turned up the heat in the third. You guys heard me talk about that in the last episode, and he really, I think he sparked them a little bit in that game and, you know, gave them a little bit of fight in the second half of a back-to-back where they looked like they didn't have a whole lot of that in them. But he did it again in this game. He was leading the way for them. He had really key blocks for them in that overtime period as well, to keep the Blue Jackets from scoring when they started shorthanded there. And that's what really facilitated the Cole Caufield heroics at the end of the game there. So you got to throw flowers to Mike Matheson for sure. I also, honestly, I liked Juraj Slafkovský in that game. I know people were getting down on him a little bit. He made a few bad passes, particularly coming out of his own zone. None of them hurt the Habs, but he was. They had 60% control of the shot attempts when he was on the ice in that game. And now that I mentioned Juraj Slafkovský, I should also mention Alex Newhook. I mean, he took a hit from behind that I talked about already in the first period. He was down on the ice a little bit. He gets up, and then he was a man on a mission from there. He was really good, particularly in transition. Again, I hate to say this for like the fourth time in this podcast, but if the puck rolls right for him a few times, I think he's got a couple of apples, if not a goal of his own in that game. So there was a lot to like from the Habs. Once they got out of that first period, they turned it up, man. And I got to say one more time, that style of play, just running and gunning, it is incredibly fun to watch. I'd like to see more of that. I think that, you know, if you're searching for a team identity, I think they found one that works for them because they stormed back into a game down 3-1 at one point and, you know, looking like you're not going to get any help from the officials. And even when you do get help from the officials, you better not retaliate to anything or they're going to throw you in the box too and even it up. And on top of that, they gave up two power play goals to the Blue Jackets again. But they got two power play goals. So the one thing that I want to say about them getting two power play goals, now that I mention it, is that I hope they don't take that as confirmation that everything they're doing is all good and we don't need to change anything. They absolutely need to look at making some changes. I think Jesse Ylinen needs to get put on that second unit, if not the top unit, and I think they need to give Juraj Slafkovský a look on the top unit. Josh Anderson doesn't work there. Stop that. It's not working. It hasn't worked, and you need to try some different things. It was looking pretty ugly for most of those attempts. Now, to their credit, I do have to give them some credit. The puck movement on that the Sean Monahan goal where Cole Caufield threw it out front to him, that was beautiful. I liked that. I liked how Cole Caufield made that decision to throw it out front as well because everybody was expecting him to shoot. So they tried something different. And what did it do? It created a goal. That's really what I'd like to see, is just try some different things. Because what you were doing before, like Cole Caufield, the first couple of opportunities that they had in that game, it was blatantly obvious that they were trying to funnel the puck there. And you saw the way that the Blue Jackets were just moving right into his shooting lane. Anytime that the puck came up to that top person at the point, I think it was Mike Matheson, they were just immediately moving their coverage to make sure that they were covering Cole Caufield's shooting lane, and it worked. They couldn't get anything done. And then when Cole Caufield finally got the puck on the half wall there, you know, he spots Sean Monahan, and they get a goal out of it. So keep trying different things and maybe throw some different personnel in there while you're doing it. It's got to be a trial and error process. You know, the 5-on-5 play has come a long way from what we were seeing a couple of years ago. And you just got to figure out a way to get your special teams up to that level. And once you do that, I think that plus a couple more players that you add to the mix, you know, you're looking at a competitive team in the next couple of years. I'm not going to go back to the refs at the end of this podcast here. I think I'm going to leave it on a positive note. I already mentioned it earlier when I talked about those penalties. You know, sometimes you got to let the dirty hits themselves be the instigators. You don't need to look for an instigator just because it's something the league wants to call. I guess we'll go with some honorable mentions, some games that I you know, enjoyed there that I haven't necessarily talked about yet. Tanner Pearson, liked his game. I liked Justin Barron in that game as well. I thought he played really well. Obviously, Sean Monahan got a goal, so you got to, you know, throw him some flowers as well. Maybe he can help their power play start looking better. And finally, Samuel Montembeau. I think he played a really effective game for them in net. He made some big saves. The scoring chances were relatively even in that game, but without him, like all the same things that I said about Cole Caulfield and Nick Suzuki and Alex Newhook, if the puck rolls right for them, they could have had some other goals. You could say the same thing for the Columbus Blue Jackets. And really, there was two good goaltenders in that game. With the way these teams were running and gunning from the second period on, you could have been looking at a barn burner with, you know, 10, 11 goals. But you didn't see that because both of the attendees were very on point in that game. So what an enjoyable game, man. I loved that. What are we running today? How long is the episode? A little over 20 minutes. So, c'est une soirée énorme pour les employés de soutien. We're on Spotify, Google Play, Apple, Megaphone. I'm on Twitter. Drop me a follow. I would appreciate that very much, at DrakeMT. This episode was brought to you by BetOnline. Thank you, as always, for listening. And, of course, à la prochaine.